this one. Where's the second one at? Cheap. 4.2 billion this company was sold for. Where's that second belt? I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the he wants.
Are you ready? Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
We're here.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. This week, we are coming at you from the MGM Grand. It is Ward Kovalev, huge matchup in boxing. And we have guests joining us, Big Mac, Ryan McKinnell, and Danny Acosta, no nickname needed, here joining the show, friends of the podcast, Reverse Rat Pack, all that good stuff. We need to expand that group name. I don't know, like Bullet Club status, because we're just gaining members like the NWO.
I think the Reverse Rat Pack works well. For those of listening that don't know, I'm like, it's we got Dre, you, Danny's Mexican, we got Marcus. And I'm the only white guy in the crew, so I'm the Sammy Davis of this Reverse Rat Pack.
If we want to take it to NWO style, we can throw up some Two Sweets, Young Bucks,
Yeah. Two Sweet, Too Sweet, Too Sweet, and we're also gonna have a soundtrack for this episode because we're outdoors at the MGM Grand.
It will not be Celine Dion. It is Adele.
It was Adele, Kel.
Because I don't know the difference between fucking Adele and Celine Dion.
Oh, yeah, and also shout out to the other three white listeners of the corner in a celebration for Metallica's release tonight. I know you're all as excited as I am, so yeah.
Nah, you know, it won't get the same responses when Tribe dropped their album and people are hitting us up, but I'm sure it'll be close.
Yo, how good is that Tribe album, and how great was that SNL performance when the sheet dropped and... Yeah, y'all point up at Fife and...
I stayed up until, what, like 3 a.m.? Because it was after the Conor fight and everything. Yeah. I stayed up and watched the whole thing.
Yeah. Look, everybody keeps having these arguments about age and hip-hop and, like, old and new. And it's like, Tribe is fucking 40 years old making classic music that young people are rocking out to. Like, y'all gotta cut that shit out. They just made a dope album.
Yeah, and also, could I just a general announcement to Andre 3000? Because... One of his things was like, oh, well, you know, hip-hop's a cool thing. Like, my kids are listening, and, like, I just don't feel cool. Like, so how can we put out an album? Dude, Run the Jewels, Tribe. Like, I could go down the list. Like, there's a lot to be said right now, especially in Donald Trump's America. So, Dre, like, please get united. Understand that we do need a new Outkast album. We do need to hear from you.
Yeah.
Like, hip-hop is not a young... I mean, I get why you would say, hey, it's a young person's game, et cetera, but what's going on now, we need age, we need experience, we need someone to lead us, someone to, and if that, I mean, not just Outkast, but we need strong voices, people that know their shit.
Even Big Grams, like, look what Big Boy did with Fantagram.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal, and I saw them when they did their last reunion, Outkast, at a Treasure Island Music Festival. And they're still on point, you know?
On like, point, yeah.
Yeah,
like... I saw them at Life is Beautiful. We also saw them, I think. Yeah, they were incredible.
And 18-year-olds know the songs from not, like, just Stankonia, period.
Right, not
like,
Hey Ya.
Before,
yeah.
Like, come on.
They're legends, and Tribe are legends, and that was just a beautiful performance, and it's a great album. And speaking of beautiful performances, Chappelle, holy shit.
Oh, Chappelle.
He had 4 days to organize what... I mean, he didn't know Trump was going to be president, and then he comes out, and he not only does he, I don't want to say reintroduce himself, but he comes back, he makes his comeback on a mainstream level. I know he's been back doing comedy for a minute now, but SNL's SNL. He comes back, he does a 10-minute set, and I think it's the greatest monologue of all time.
Yeah, it's his first TV appearance.
Yeah.
He's the comedic Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
Like, we need Dave Chappelle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
His show, if they just bought it back for one season, would just run television.
Yeah.
Because he still got it. Like, it was just that quick. Yeah. Not a lot of thought, nothing. He just went right off the dome and made great skits right again.
You know how nothing gets ratings? That would get ratings, you know? Like,
oh, yeah. Name your price, Netflix.
I mean, you know, this would be the perfect time to have the Boondocks and the Chappelle Show come back. The turmoil in America would be the perfect timing. But It's America, so.
Hey,
what happened to Aaron Magruder?
Magruder had a problem with the direction of the third season and the writing and the fact that Reggie Hudlin was still a producer on the show. So they, after the third season, he just got tired, didn't want to do shit anymore.
Did some Black Jesus show or something.
Yeah.
On Comedy Central that I never checked out. So, I mean, other thing we watched on Saturday, it took the other headlines, I guess, from the weekend. Conor McGregor, UFC 205. We have to start off the show talking about that. Kind of gave us a nice break that was needed from the fucking insanity of the Tuesday prior to that. So
I don't know what break you're talking about.
For 3 hours,
I stared at
Twitter. Maybe like 2 hours, I was lost in UFC 205.
I wish, back to reality. Yeah, I wish I could say that.
I was also
I
tipsy.
The same way, yeah. Well, that would have helped.
Yeah.
I've definitely been getting inebriated for a week straight, waking up in a pure nightmare every morning I wake up. It's like, oh no, that shit did happen. Like we, yeah, that happened. Yeah. But no, you're right. Saturday was great.
Not to demean MMA or say what happened with Conor McGregor is not important because it is. It's a big moment. It is enjoyable. But yeah, it was just I didn't care about anything.
And you were there. Out of the four people sitting at this table right now, you were in New York covering the fights for SiriusXM.
Yeah, I did media days Wednesday, Thursday. I did a live radio Friday, Saturday. And there was a lot of excitement, don't get me wrong. But there was also, every time I was on the subway, every face I looked at, it just looked like they were at a funeral.
Doom and gloom, that's it.
All week long.
I don't know how you did anything on Wednesday.
I don't think
I didn't do anything on Wednesday. Nothing at all. I was just...
Oh, and an unnamed fighter told an unnamed media member. You want to share this? I feel like it...
Basically in reference to... long story short, happy that someone you know and love in your family is getting deported.
Oh, yes.
I did hear that from a fighter.
Someone...
Very unfortunate. A high-up fighter.
A media member told a high-up fighter that... that her family was getting deported, and that fighter said, "You better get your papers in order." Then they better get their papers in order. This is Nazi shit, and people are just totally getting around it and okay with it.
We're talking about registries.
Muslim registry. Sweet. You know what we should do? We should build another Berlin Wall. We should register Muslims.
For the record, the wall being proposed in Mexico is 12 and a half times greater than the length of the Berlin Wall.
Cool. Cool. Awesome.
So it's like the Great Wall of China.
Yeah. All right. So let's get it.
Mexicans build tunnels, by the way.
little insight from the
Mexican expert on that.
Yeah,
on the panel today. So 205.
It was awesome.
I think the first fight that really captivated me was Khabib.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything before then was cool, but it was kind of like the appetizer.
It was action.
Yeah. To the main course. Once Khabib came on, it was like, all right, it's real.
And then once he cut that promo when he said, Russia, 160 million of us. Ireland, 6 million. What? Yeah. bringing nationalism and...
Full heel promo.
So does he get the next title shot?
No.
Hell no.
We all know who the next title shot's going to.
You know what? It might be a huge mistake if they don't give it to him, because what he says about keeping them out of Russia... That's not an empty threat.
No,
that is
not
a threat he will deliver on. And that amount of people, you can't afford to lose that market.
Khabib's got Kadyrov on speed dial.
Yeah. And guess who would go to that market in a second? Your competition. Viacom, Bellator.
Absolutely.
You know? So you can't afford, especially, you know, Fedor's going to walk out for another fight, you know, do some other kind of fight, Bobby Lashley, whatever it is.
Oh, God.
They're rolling out Tito Ortiz versus Chael Sonnen. I don't.
Definitely Silva Crow Cop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We're living in a batshit insane
Anything
world.
Anything
goes. Khabib delivered. Got rocked early, though.
Yeah.
Which was
straight lefts,
and he couldn't. Well, he ate like two or three of them, stumbled backwards, and was like, "Oh shit, I kind of got to grab this guy."
You know who's got a good straight left?
Conor McGregor. Yeah, we'll get to that guy.
No, but heel promo, you know, trash talking when he had Johnson grounded, all that stuff is great. I don't think it's enough to land the title shot, though.
Who's the fight next? Tony Ferguson?
Yeah. Him, El Kakui.
Yeah, that's what
they have to fight next.
Right now, waiter, you're saying you don't think it's enough. Like we agree that he deserves the shot.
He deserves the shot.
Okay, you're just saying.
I think he could beat Conor. But
it's going to Nate.
No, it's not going to Nate. I don't agree there. We'll get to that.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to Nate.
Well,
but
Conor will get Ferguson and Nurmagomedov to try and pick a champ.
Yeah, absolutely.
Correct.
I think Ferguson is going to try and sit, and I think that Nurmagomedov is going to try and sit. I think both of them are trying to sit.
I would love that idea if they had Conor McGregor money, but sooner or later you got to feed your family, and Connor says he wants time off, he can sit longer than anyone.
Absolutely.
Yeah. His bank account can just absorb that. Or you can fight Nate Diaz, like you said, and just make everyone wait.
I think Khabib's got more ground to stand on in regards to sitting out. I don't think anyone really gives a shit about Tony Ferguson. And that's not a knock on Tony. I think he's a really talented dude, but he's got losses. Khabib doesn't. He's not, you know.
He knows as much, though. He said that after the fight.
Yeah.
He said, if I don't get the title fight, I'm going to keep fighting.
Yeah, and I like that attitude, you know.
He knows where he stands.
Yeah.
He'll be a champion someday. Like, that's how he views it.
And so Khabib wrecks anybody they fight. He fights. So
Khabib's on borrowed time.
Yeah.
Khabib needs now.
How about Snoop?
His body. He's on
Snoop putting over Khabib.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw that.
That was great.
Yeah.
Khabib's building momentum. If the fight happens, it'll sell. It'll sell more than this Alvarez fight. He has more personality, a bigger fan base, everything than Alvarez.
I mean, what do you mean by sell? Connor's going to sell anything himself.
Yeah. I just mean the intrigue, the...
It was a huge card, though, so I don't know.
First time in New York.
Yeah.
Alvarez was thrown into the perfect situation. He brought very little to the table.
I will say, for the possibility of Khabib and Connor fighting next, Connor was willing to take a fight with Rafael Dos Anjos.
Yep.
Right? That's a tough fight. Now, Dos Anjos had the belt, so he has something he wanted. Khabib doesn't have that, but 150 million people, you do that in New York City?
I'll tell you the reason. If Connor takes that fight versus Khabib, it won't be in New York, it won't be anywhere else besides a soccer stadium in Ireland. And Khabib will say the Russians can travel easier there. Connor's going to sell regardless of where he's at. And Connor will take that if they throw him that bone.
It'll be in Vegas.
Yeah.
It won't be in Vegas.
It'll be Vegas or NY.
If they want him to fight Khabib, it'll be in Ireland.
Because they don't want to watch Conor.
They fight Nate Diaz in
Vegas.
Everyone
knows that Khabib's got a real chance to beat Conor. Real chance. Probably better than 50%.
Yeah.
They're not going to roll him out to Ireland to have him lose in front of us. If they do that, it'll be one of those James Irvin, Anderson Silva squash matches. It'll be a one-off. Like, let's give him a little bone. Absolutely.
Yeah. Alvarez was the bone.
You put McGregor. No, hell. What'd you say?
Alvarez was the bone.
Alvarez
was the bone.
He was the underground king for
Dude, he's the 155-pound champ. No bones.
Didn't wrestle better than Mendez. Didn't strike.
Doesn't matter. He's a champion.
You're like, this guy's going to win?
I'm talking about a literal, he had a really good chance. Yeah.
I think first round KO last week.
No, this is the first KO moment.
No, yeah, he looked at me.
Yes.
He thought I was crazy last week. I said first round KO last week. He said what?
Yeah.
I was like, it's not even going to be close.
That just
means that Conor McGregor, when you're talking about style matchups in MMA right now, is probably the striker that you would always
pick.
Correct.
And Eddie Alvarez fought a shit fight. He said it himself. He didn't try to wrestle once. He came out circling into his power.
Yeah.
And caught by the moment.
Yeah.
But isn't that exactly what I said? I said, if Eddie doesn't put his head in Conor's chest, he's fucked.
Yeah.
He didn't put his head in Conor's chest and he got fucked up.
And that's everyone at this one.
And I was just going to say, that's everyone. If you do not get grimy with Conor McGregor and you give him space and you give him ability to get off,
Nate only beat his ass when he made it grimy.
Of Conor, so let's just call it as it is. Conor McGregor has been able to effectively talk every opponent except for Nate Diaz, who doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah,
don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
It's his mouth more than anything else.
Yep.
Watching a lot of run back of the second fight with Diaz and McGregor too in the last week, because people are talking about it a lot more. Man, that is a high level fight.
It is.
And the way they're rolling off their punches.
The momentum of that fight. Yeah. It had swings. Yeah. We were sitting next to all of us were sitting next to each other during that fight, and we were talking about it while it was fighting. Like, okay, he looks a little he got his momentum back. Nate established his range a little bit better. Then Conor put more volume on him and put more pressure on him. It was a beautiful fight.
Nate Diaz is the biggest winner out of UFC 205 who wasn't on the card.
Yeah.
By far.
To look at Eddie Alvarez getting blown out that way, it makes Nate's stock go way higher.
Because Nate's smart. He fought the smartest fight you can fight against.
No, he fought
against
his fight. Here's what, Nate Diaz doesn't give a fuck.
Nope.
Yeah. So when Conor is talking, Eddie Alvarez got caught up in this thing, well, your opponents aren't that good. You know, your punching power. Conor somehow convinces fighters to believe that they're stronger than him.
Yeah.
And then they get hit, and they're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And everybody's life changes when they get hit. Nate is not, I'm not going to say he's not smart enough, but he doesn't comprehend what Conor's doing, and he doesn't care. So when he fights him, he's not surprised by any of this shit.
He's in a bubble.
Fight. Yeah, he's literally not listening to Conor. Eddie Alvarez, all these other guys, they are listening when Conor talks.
And I feel Conor's the same way in regards to, I don't think Conor gives a fuck either.
No, he doesn't. No.
So I think, and that's why you see the adoration from Diaz fans and vice versa back towards Conor. There are a lot, don't get me wrong, there are Conor haters, but not as many as you would think for a guy who's as loud and as out. He has silenced so many people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, by his performances and the way his output.
His greatness.
And his willingness to fucking do insane shit. Like, just mind-blowing. What are you doing? Like,
Nate's the same fucking way. Exactly. I guess, you know, in retrospect, but they never wanted
That's
to push
I mean.
Nate.
Right.
But you tell Nate, like, hey, Nate, you're going to fight 170 tomorrow. All right.
We got
and then you fight back at 155, and you know he's taking fights against people he probably shouldn't have.
I mean, if there's one person
but he doesn't
whose losses have helped him, it's Nate Diaz.
Absolutely.
Huh?
Like, he understands what it's like to be behind. He understands what it's like to be hurt. He understands what it's like to be finished. Mm. That helps against McGregor.
Even the Michael Johnson loss, if we go back, a year or two ago, right? He took that fight because, he was in basically a contract dispute with the UFC. I'm talking about Nate Diaz.
He won the.
I'm talking about Rafael Dos Anjos. When he went in and he was in the in the contract dispute.
His weight cut was horrible.
Right, and he was unmotivated. But even that, through a loss, it was almost like an anti-establishment. Fuck you. I could maybe beat this dude, but you're not paying me to do it.
Exactly.
So I'm gonna go out here almost like as a sacrificial lamb.
That's a great
and
thing
take the L.
Up because he was injured for Dos Anjos, which is why he missed the weight and then the weight before.
Right.
But he was also injured against McGregor in the second fight. But look how he performed. Right.
Almost beat him,
and Conor was at the top of his game.
Yep.
No, I mean, that's why people want to see that fight.
Yeah.
And to your point,
actually,
it would be the biggest fight they could make.
And you said that it's not happening.
It's not happening.
Nate's next at 150. What do you mean? Conor said he wants it, and he doesn't want Khabib. It's going to be the fight.
It's Nate or Khabib. That's it.
It's Nate, though, because you're not going to ruin the money.
Hold on. Who are you going to say, Kevin?
I think he just lit fire.
You've done this before.
He throws everything to the wind. He says, fuck it. And Wonder Boy gets asked out, and he takes Tyron.
Absolutely not. That is not happening.
I think he takes Tyron.
There's no way that fight is next.
Next fight.
Absolutely not.
Tyron. Because Tyron's not. Unless GSP comes tomorrow and signs the contract.
No.
Conor gets the next shot at Tyron.
No, you're not going to just ruin the division of a draw that
You would think.
And easily the best fight of the night between Wonder Boy and Woodley that has stopped.
Why did Conor fight Nate at 170 the first time? What was all our opinions why he was fighting at 170?
Why
was the weight at 170?
It was happenstance.
If he would have won,
because
who would
have thrown together in 7 days?
Who would have Conor fought next? If he would have beat Nate at 170 in that fight, who would he have fought at UFC 200?
But he didn't.
Who was he on pace to fight?
What are you talking about?
He was on pace to fight Robbie Lawler, and that's why he took a fight at 170 pounds.
Right.
Now he won the title he was supposed to get.
But
Dos Anjos.
He didn't win that 170.
Yeah, and now he's got two
170's been in his mind for a year.
No, it hasn't. Listen.
Okay.
It hasn't. That was totally circumstance.
No, money fight is.
And you're going to take the money fight.
Nate is always there, and Nate will sit, and that's what he knows. Nate doesn't have to fight again. Nate will sit.
No, absolutely.
You were just warming up with your dumbass idiot.
Yo, I'm telling you, he goes for 170.
Look, first of all, can we go to the timeline?
Yeah.
That fight between McGregor and Diaz happened out of pure
necessity.
Correct. He never wanted to fight at 170. He wanted to fight at 155.
He wanted to get the title.
Yeah, he never wanted 170. He doesn't want to ruin his money trade. And if he goes up and he tries to... Listen, I'm not saying 170
I don't know if he could win.
He could.
Obviously that he could lose, but taking the random shot in the dark that you become a simultaneous three-division champion is going to bring you money for 5 to 6 years.
He's more likely to get stake in the UFC than to the UFC give him a title shot against Woodley right now and let him take three belts potentially.
Yeah.
No, hold up three.
Yeah.
Holding up three divisions.
Then he'll just own the fucking company.
He's already
20% of the belts in the UFC.
What the fuck is 25, right? Might as well.
Let's throw
it in there.
Let's go on the topic now of Woodley and Wonderboy in that fight. How did you guys score, first of all? Was it supposed to be a draw?
Yeah, I gave it a draw.
I had a draw.
Woodley 10-8 in the fourth.
Doug Crosby should be fucking fired.
Yeah.
10-8 in the first?
How do you give 10-8 in the first, like, not in the fourth?
Yeah, I was looking.
You damn near kill the man in the fourth and don't get a 10-8 round.
I was like, huh?
It's crooked.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It shows you the failure of the 10-point less system, too, because Wonderboy wins three rounds, fine, but Woodley almost, takes his head off. Clearly, that could have been finished, and I don't think anybody would argue.
Nobody would argue.
And
submission attempt was...
That was a bad move.
It was poor choice.
Fight acumen for Tyron Woodley, very weird, because it was very high cert level, standing with Wonderboy, not getting kicked, able to stand there at range and fight with him, and then also very terrible going for the guillotine, which he admitted is a mistake.
Yeah. He has a lot of Hendo in him now, in my opinion, where if you're in a 5-round fight with him, he's not going to use his wrestling, which is world class. He's going to bide his time, try not to get hit by anything and say, my right hand is going to crush you within this 25 minutes. And I'm just going to wait it out.
Well, he had to do that with Wonderboy. I mean, you can't.
Because you can't outclass.
And Robbie, it caught Robbie in the first. I don't think he would have wrestled Robbie.
Robbie you can catch because Robbie's
Robbie. To be hit. He's with that with anyone now. Like, you go into the fight with Wonderboy, you'd be like, you gonna stay on your feet?
Not true.
He stood on his feet for 22 minutes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he just wrestled the shit out of someone not too many
years
ago. I don't remember. That's what I'm trying to think.
It was 4 years ago?
But no. Rory McDonald dogged him.
Roy, yeah, crushed him because he was just patient and waiting to land it right, and Roy never gave it to him.
Well,
and Wonderboy, if Wonderboy doesn't walk into it in the fourth, he just outpoints him for four rounds out of five and wins the title because he's just so hesitant. He's so dependent now on that right-hand knockout. It is his H-bomb now. He has limited his other tools.
I don't think that's the plan against Wonderboy.
Then he should have took him down. He
couldn't.
Yeah, he couldn't.
He couldn't.
He tried. He got him, what, in the second or the first? And then he tried the rest after, and he couldn't.
He couldn't get inside.
Right.
You're going to get your head taken off.
Yeah.
Whitley fought the fight that kept him safe.
Yep.
His back against the cage, not giving him too
I was
much
getting outpointed.
He was.
Thompson is good as advertised, again. Just like McGregor.
That fight happens again, Wonderboy wins that fight.
I think so.
They delivered.
Didn't you pick Wonderboy before the fight?
Yeah,
we all picked
Wonderboy.
Right?
Yeah.
We all picked Wonderboy.
Yeah.
Did you pick Woodley?
Yeah. We had a welterweight title fight that's continued, like the George St. Pierre era ending. Has only had great welterweight title fights.
Yeah, hasn't been one and a this, bad one yet, right?
This is another chapter.
It's been the best division.
And for you to ruin the conversation by not acknowledging that we just got a great rivalry that will carry on. I mean, Wonderboy was getting babyface pops all over New York. Woodley's getting that heel heat, and he does not care. He's embracing it.
I think it's great. I want to see a rematch. I don't think it I think Connor says, you know what? I can do what I want.
It's unlike 155, where there's a lot on the horizon. There's nothing on the horizon right now at welterweight. Who is the top guy at welterweight that should be in the title picture that's not Tyron Woodley or Wonderboy Thompson?
Damian Maia, but I don't want to give him a shot. I mean, there's nothing appealing about Damian Maia. The only thing possible is GSP coming back. And it's like a looming specter, which I also am not confident in.
No, they can't do that because they don't want to fork over the $10 million to reintroduce him to the public and have him arguing.
But
idiots.
I think more important than anything else is I think you're underestimating how smart Conor McGregor is. I think he dealt with Nate Diaz, who's a 155 or 170, and realized his power didn't carry over.
Yeah.
And he's not going to go into a fight with Woodley, who lost around, 200 pounds?
Yeah.
And it's like, when you looked at him, like my wife sat there and was like,
I thought the same thing until he's barking at him all week. He's in his face back.
He barks at everyone.
Yeah, he talks to everyone.
He always fights those people.
Look, let your honor say something. He's going
to
talk to
I'm not saying he won't fight him eventually.
He always fights those
people.
He's so calculated that he's not going to bark at you if he's not going to fight you.
He's not going to take a fight that he might not win.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why he's like, I have no interest in Khabib and I want to fight Nate.
And furthermore, Willie hasn't established himself as the perfect foil for Conor McGregor yet. He has to beat one.
Yo, you want to talk about something? What if they do this fucking Nate fight and Nate wins? Then you've got a first time ever, a five fight rivalry in the UFC.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
That's true. Crazy.
That's true.
And everyone will want to see it, and no one will have a problem with it.
Go fight.
That's fine. I mean, if he takes the belt, this is for the belt, and he takes the belt from him, you're in a five fight.
You got to give him an automatic rematch.
Yes. And then you got to do it again, even if Nate were to win that one, because it's Conor. Because people will want to see it.
You know that'll happen at the lower weights.
Yep.
You know, we thought it might have been like Genius and King, because there was no one at heavyweight.
Yep.
But it'll be something like McGregor and Diaz, and it'll sell. Five times every time.
So
that's fucking crazy. I'd be there for every one of them. Like,
I know this is your job, but where do we put Conor now in the all-time rankings list? Because it was a big topic after the fight on Saturday.
I mean, he should be number one pound for pound right now. The rankings release is number two, but nobody else has accomplished what he's done in this two-year span.
Never.
I want to say it's Mike Tyson-esque, but even Tyson fought bums. Like, Conor's just rolling through everybody they put in front of him.
Yeah.
And you said 2 years, which is fair, because that's when I guess he became...
Dennis Seaver was 2 years ago.
Right, where he came on the mainstream and kind of people knew about him. But let's just go back 1 year to his debut. So 3 years, this dude came in the game and wrecked it.
Took it off the top.
Took it over. Changed fighter rights in a large way, their pay, changed the way you market fights, changed what you can do as a fighter.
Changed how everyone acts.
Putting your hands behind putting your hands behind your back against Eddie Alvarez, like wheel kicks against absolutely.
We'll continue to.
He's only 28.
Now I don't know if I
put MMA, like you're built to win at 33, 34. Like that's when you hit your prime. That's when you become well rounded.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're John Jones.
Yeah.
But you know, he kind of hit his prime early and whacked himself out.
I don't even know if he's whacked himself out. No, yeah, still, yeah, like, he can still go in and run shit. Yeah,
I got to see him again.
He should be Conor McGregor right now.
Absolutely, yeah. He should have been the 2-8 champ.
If he would firmly say McGregor is 2 right now, if John Jones was still in
there's two things. Yeah. If John Jones came in the game with the attitude that he has now of the not giving a fuck, talk shit to people, he would have been up there. He would have got the fights that he wanted to fight. But he came in with his choir boy persona. It was a piece of shit, and he's ruined. He's fucked off the last 2 years of his career. Like, he should have headlined 200. His rivalry with Cormier should have made sense. Fighting Cain
should be the greatest rivalry in the history of the sport.
He is the most talented fighter we've ever seen.
Yep. Earliest we'll be back is mid-August, September, October. You know, it's like,
and even then, it's like,
and the issue is now is all those things, like you said, choir boy to villain. But now that he's done so many villainous things, and that he's still perpetuating his, I guess, lack of understanding of the situation, right? You see him on Twitter, you see him on social media. It's like, John, you still don't firmly grasp and understand what has happened to you. I know you think
nothing
you're
wrong with dick pills.
It's like the Trump factor, right? You sit on social media and you see the adoration from your followers, so you think you're in a good place. Trust me, John, you're not in a fucking good place. Well, to sane, intelligent people, you are not in a good place.
He thinks he's LeBron, right? He thinks he's getting the same LeBron hate. Right. But LeBron's actually, like, donating millions to charity.
Oh, yeah, that.
Like, Ali's Foundation.
And competing.
And, like, yeah.
Well, calling Phil Jackson out.
Yeah.
Being a black man, I really like LeBron right now. Thank you.
Listen, all that shit is cool when you're winning. He stopped winning. He stopped fighting.
Well, he lost life. He lost a life.
He lost a life.
Yeah.
But he never stopped winning.
He's going to fight once the past 2.5 years by the time he comes back. 3 years.
And it's only Ovin St. Preux.
Yeah. Ovin St. Preux.
That's it.
Which he looked horrible.
And it wasn't even a good fight, really.
So
I think I left in the fourth round. I was in this MGM parking garage.
Crazy.
By that, you know?
Yeah. It's mind-blown when you think about recent history. And we saw the same thing with, like, Anderson Silva. It was just, like, greatest ever to one point. And it was, like, he kind of slowed down, fought less.
That's
I'm saying, like, when you...
And shitbox sparring sessions for decades.
Yeah, when you get off of, like, the public eye, it's like, man, you can't get away with shit. You just can't.
Well, no.
Now, if you're fighting 3 times a year like Conor, and then you're talking shit, and then you have this persona, that's fine.
I've said this. I'll say it again. We are extremely lucky that the mixed martial arts isn't on the level with the NFL in terms of popularity, or else John Jones would be a serious problem.
He would.
He's a minor problem, just minor DUIs. I mean, I don't want to undersell it. I mean, he is a problem, and he's endangered people. But could you imagine? He has a God complex now. And he was a question on Jeopardy, and no one knew his answer. So no one gives a shit about John Jones, or MMA, really, in a larger scale. But if he had that God complex of the NFL and carte blanche to do whatever he wanted,
But in some level, he should be thanking Conor McGregor that McGregor's success has overshadowed John
Keeping
Jones'
Keeping the sport
failures.
Alive.
Oh, yeah.
Circling back to 205, like, this really set a foundation for what the sport could be going forward.
Yeah.
Because that was, like, the last benchmark, right? We had T-Mobile Arena before that, you know? They built stadiums in Abu Dhabi just for the UFC.
Yeah.
Like, Australia, 56,000. Toronto, 55,000.
Yeah.
You know, Columbus, 19,000. There was more in New York in terms of attendance. It broke Lennox Lewis and Holyfield's record. It didn't break all the records. It didn't break the pay-per-view.
But it did enough.
But this is supposed to be John Jones' card. So if that shit doesn't eat him up, I don't know what will.
Nothing eats him up.
This was supposed to be his headliner.
Yeah.
Like, back in New York, like, John, this is supposed to be you.
He fucked it up.
And he fucked it up.
Yeah. That's who he is.
It was on a platter.
Let's stay on course with MMA's.
Okay. Someone else who has a big-ass head right now, Michael Bisping, was looming like Sting in the fucking rafters. Watching Weidman versus Romero.
I didn't know what Sting you were talking about. Like, English Sting?
The
Sting
no.
Like, I didn't
like
know the crow. But no.
Like the crow Sting.
You swerved me with the crow thing. I like that.
That's
a good visual.
Yeah, like, Romero wins, and they just swoop up to Bisping. I was like, how the fuck do you know? Like, is this planned?
Bisping will fight Jacare. He will not fight Yoel Romero.
You don't want anything to do with Yoel. Yeah.
No, he loses to Jacare, too, if he fights him. It's a race to see who gets to Bisping first.
He
lost to Hendo, by the way. I'll take that.
He probably uses Uriah Hall. I think we all agree on that.
Yeah.
He could lose.
I don't know about that.
Uriah Hall take his face off of him.
Yeah.
He could beat Luke Rockhold this year.
He's got one eye.
Yeah. I'm not gonna argue against that, but that might be the one.
Did you have him beating Hendo?
What? No.
No, I had Hendo winning that fight.
I actually did have Hendo or Bisping winning that fight.
I had 1-2-5.
I have to go back and rewatch it.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Nobody's impressed with that before.
Right.
Somebody came away and was like, that's a world champion right
now. No, he got pushed to the brink by the number 9 guy who was 46 years old.
Yeah. I think he was 13. I think Dan Henderson was number 13. He wasn't even top 10.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
He was I was being generous.
Yeah, weak division.
Yeah.
After the top six, that division, Uriah Hall. Like,
yeah, I don't want to call it a weak division, but I know what you mean. Once you get out of the top four or five, it's
once you get out of there, if you're 13, you're not a shitty fighter.
Yep.
But 1 through 13 can beat Bisping, and that's not a knock on Bisping. It's really not. He is. I still make him my fighter of the year over McGregor because what he's done is unprecedented. He got his title on 9 days' notice against the guy that I would put in the top 3 pound for pound in Luke Rockhold.
Yeah.
And then you look at the legends. I mean, Dan Henderson, fine. I know he was outside the top 10. Still Dan Henderson. Still gave him a fight. Anderson Silva and Luke Rockhold. Yeah. What he's done is amazing, but he's going to lose his next fight. And if he doesn't, he's going to lose the next one. And if he doesn't, then he's the greatest fighter of all time.
He has a fucking rabbit's foot up his ass.
Yeah,
because he's the luckiest fighter I've seen. It's 2016. Because this shit only happens in 2016.
Well, yeah. Cubs.
You start 2016 out with him getting fucking KO'd by Anderson Silva, it not being stopped. Silva walks away, and then he ends up winning that fight, and then comes in on 9 days' notice, and Rocco's like, I've been training for a wrestler this whole time, and gets fucking clipped, and then he goes against an old man with a right hand, almost get knocked out 3 times, Rockhold survives, and gets a decision.
Rockhold was too busy sliding into Debbie's DMs. That was right when their blossoming relationship was kicking off.
It was in L.A.
He was in L.A.
He got some strange.
Yeah.
Talk about McGregor and Bisping as the 1A, 1B for Fighter of the Year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, who's close?
No
like,
one.
He made himself a Hall of Famer in 1 year.
I would say.
And I don't have a problem with either one if you pick them.
If Dominick Cruz beats Garbrandt, then I think you have to consider him in that conversation. It's obviously, I don't think he's a front, but I say you have to.
It'd be a nice year. Yeah.
He got off the couch, came back, and beat TJ Dillashaw.
Yep. Yeah.
That is incredible.
Yep.
He was my number one pound for pound.
Yeah.
What happened. Like, I had him ahead of Demetrius. Like, I was like, he hasn't fucking lost.
Yeah.
Sure. Like, he hasn't lost, and he got off the couch and beat a high level
Dillashaw.
TJ Dillashaw.
Yeah, it's too soon.
Who was surging?
For Garbrandt. Yeah. But if he beats him, it's still a good win. And, like, that Dillashaw. It was in January, so we're forgetting. It was impressive.
It was very impressive.
It's a good point.
No, definitely. January.
Verlander in the Cy Young Award race.
Yeah, you're all like, it was in January. I'm like, who's TJ Dillashaw again?
Yeah.
Like, what?
He's fighting John Lineker.
Who's John Lineker? No.
Talking about pound for pounds, Joanna. Where does she fit into this list? Because I don't see her in a lot of people's lists. She just dominated again.
I think she's like ranked 6 on the UFC pound for pound list.
Has to be too low.
Dude, right? I don't look at those stupid rankings, but do they put women in with the men?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, yeah, they don't get their own rankings.
Okay, good.
Ronda was as high as, I think, like 4 at one point.
I mean, Joanna, she's in a similar position now where Demetrius Johnson, she has nobody.
Well, she
dominated Carolina.
Jessica Andrade. Then after that, it's like.
It is Demetrius. That's a great comparison.
And you know what, though? Same as.
You can run back Gandela, though.
Run Claudia back again. I'm all right with that.
Wonder Boy, talking about Carolina Nicole Cambridge running that back. That's a rivalry. She performed enough, giving her a challenge where.
I thought she was dominated. I thought she was dominating 4 rounds out of 5 and clipped her in the 4th.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's enough. Carolina Nicole Cambridge looks good, wins 2 to 3 more fights. You can see that run back. Because Joanna's just going to be building up until they give her a 25-pound title to take. She's going to be fine. And Jessica Andrade isn't an easy fight for her.
Is Andrade going to be next, or do you think they're going to try to throw in somebody like the winner of the Van Zandt Wallace?
Well, they might. That'd
be a mistake.
It would be a mistake. Because
they're going
to
get killed.
I think that depends on where they do the fight. Like, what they're trying to introduce the market to. If it's a Vegas fight, I think she could take a one-off. If it's, like, if they're trying to supply, like, a Toronto or, like, they're trying to do, like, a bigger market, I could see them putting on a higher quality fight in Andrade.
It seems to add up to, they're probably positioning for Brooklyn and Vegas.
Yeah.
Is the timetable where everyone who competed in this will get their next fight.
I think those are going to be their home bases.
Yeah.
So it's just like.
The world and fight capital.
It'd be the best place for Juwan. You know,
yeah,
without question.
So, Joanna, I see her in Brooklyn.
Yeah, she's got 4 title defenses. Yeah. She fits well with New York. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be a both contingent for East Coast. She's going to, she really is ready as a professional to take on the media obligations to be on a card this big. Like, she performed.
She has that personality, too. Yeah, she didn't get, like, the run everyone else kind of got during this, which is kind of weird because.
It was such a big card.
I think she's the female fighter that the sport's been waiting for.
But she's approaching. Yeah. I mean, in cage, she's approaching Ronda dominance.
Well, that's but it's not through ground. It's in submissions, which I think is.
Striking should be more.
But
exciting,
that's my point.
Right?
I think she's the fighter that female MMA has been waiting for. She's
pushing her.
She's a lighter Vanderlei Silva, but the violence and the thirst for violence. I did a profile on her for UFC magazine, and that was basically what the story was. Is you are dealing with a reincarnation of the early violent days of mixed martial arts. Like, she is a true fighter's fighter to the core, and she fights like it. She talks like it. She fights like it.
They just need to give her the push. I mean, they gave it to Misha after one fight, and Misha's retired now.
Really get the push. Like, nobody got the round of rub.
Everyone got the rub. Everyone got the round of rub. Holly Holm was on Ellen and shit.
Yeah, because she beat Ronda Rousey.
Ronda is a totally different.
You knock somebody at the top of the perch, and then you see what happens. Like, that's different. Like, Joanna, she's a slow, deliberate climb.
Yeah.
Like, and her popularity is starting to soar.
And her English isn't there yet. Not all the way.
She's working really hard on it.
Yes, she is. Yeah.
Really,
yes, she is.
Along.
Yes.
And I think it's enough for she could actually be out there.
Yep.
Anything else we got to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, before we take a break, we got to talk about, I guess, the biggest headline that I fucking hate, but that came out of this. McGregor versus Mayweather.
That's not a headline.
It was the biggest headline. Everyone was talking about it.
It's a pipe dream. It's not going to happen. Just
Google McGregor right now. Mayweather pops up.
I would have agreed with you a year ago. I think the fight might happen now. I think it's a bullshit fight. I think it ends whenever Mayweather wants it to. Anyone saying otherwise doesn't know combat sports.
I skip Bayless.
Yeah. Anyone. I skip anyone. Skip.
The fight's not happening.
How great
Mayweather gets knocked out by McGregor, by the way.
It's not going to happen.
Too much to jump through to get this thing commissioned, licensed.
Commissioned?
I mean, well,
you know that shit doesn't matter in this. Any of these anywhere. Well, put it Ohio, Texas, Nevada. But anywhere but New York, they do it.
Floyd is fighting
here. Going to allow McGregor to fight a boxing
match? Absolutely, because it would be co-promoted.
Isn't it safer than? Well, I would think it's a little safer than MMA.
Nothing, no shine is removed from him. But here's the thing, Dre. And normally, you and I, we've talked about this. I'm always on your same page with this. But now I've seen it to where, and I keep bringing up Trump, but it is kind of the Trump factor where the disinformation has gotten so large and the talk has gotten so wide that the money's there now. That, like, people have been convinced that, like, people
he
are like,
win.
Yeah, people are like literally saying, like,
that
oh,
he could be Floyd.
I mean, like, look at what he's doing. He's knocking out people in 13 seconds, like, he's straight left and blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude,
no one can take that left hand.
People are not giving fucking credence to how great Floyd Mayweather is. And not even just Floyd would beat him. Any top 20 boxer would wax Conor's ass within 2-3 rounds. No problem.
Can we say, though, the practicality of this might be more realistic?
Because of money. Money talks.
Well, look at the way things have changed, right? Who's to say that the WME IMG era of the UFC won't go for things like co-promotion?
Yeah.
Won't go for big entertainment.
This is Hollywood.
Right? Yep. Because Zuffa, you know why it's in their best interest to keep that from happening, because then fighters are going to want to co-promote, they're going to want to go kickbox, they're going to want to do whatever. You know, it causes a lot more headaches, but maybe R. Emanuel's like, fuck it. You think I'm going to back down from these fighters who haven't spoken up forever, you know?
Yeah. Well, here's why I don't think it will happen. Because, one, you have to find a network in the air and figure out who's going to split the proceeds. If Mayweather-Pacquiao took 5 years to make, this is going to be a nightmare.
Well, that took because you had Zuffa competing, it, and you had competing cable entities.
Yeah, because
that's where you have
competing cable entities here.
How? No, it's just Mayweather, the UFC and HBO.
Mayweather's independent with Mayweather promotion.
Espinosa still has a hold on Mayweather and Heyman. And as long as Heyman and Espinosa are involved, Mayweather's not breaking away from both of them.
But I thought the same thing with Pacquiao, but Pacquiao went independent because HBO wouldn't pick him up.
No.
So Top Rank went indie away from HBO. McGregor should be able to go indie away from Showtime, and then Zuffa has a pay-per-view model.
Deal with Showtime, right?
Yeah.
And Espinosa and Heyman have a deal as well. Showtime's going to do everything in their power to make sure a boxing match happens under their umbrella. They're not going to let WMEIG handle any of this.
Well, that's okay. Maybe WME, they don't want to. Maybe they'll be willing to concede that for the amount of money they're going to get from a Mayweather showdown.
I just think there's going to be so many hang-ups that we're not going to be aware of that prevents this fight from happening.
Well, I will say this.
If they can partner with HBO for the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, there's no reason they shouldn't be able to partner with WME.
That was a disaster, though.
It was horrible. It was a shit show that week, but it got done.
And, you know, I think
that was UFC, like blood rivals.
If they want to do this, the UFC has a little bit of leverage in the fact that Mayweather's not getting any younger. So if they're going to do it, they have to do it within the next year.
Quick.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be Conor's next fight if they're actually going to do it.
It'd be in May.
In order for it to happen, it has to happen now.
Yeah.
Like, the milk's going to expire soon. You need to hurry up and have this fight now.
And as much as I don't want to see it and I have no interest in the actual in-ring contest, that pre-fight build-up would be fucking insane.
Boxing loves a great white hope so much, you try to borrow one from MMA. That's interesting because Conor, obviously, he's the most legit. Like, he's a GOAT, clearly. But in terms of
shout out to Jerry Cooney.
The promo that goes.
No, it's fucking crazy. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back on the opposite end, we got to talk boxing. We're here at the fight. We'll touch on Kovalev, Ward. But Mayweather came up in a different sense as well. So we'll hop back on a different Mayweather topic when we come back. Stay tuned. Check out the sponsors. Listen up, because we need help putting out the show that you love for free every week, giving it free to the people. Now we know nobody likes filling out surveys, but we really need you to do it. It won't take you more than 5 minutes, and besides helping out the show, you'll be entered for a chance to win a $100 iTunes gift card. You know what I can do with $100 on iTunes? I'm living life large on iTunes with that, and you guys get that just for helping us out. We know some of you may have already done surveys like this in the past, but we really need you to log in and fill this thing out as accurately as possible.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, once we know more about you, we'll be able to deliver the show and the sponsors you dream about. Finding sponsors who are a good fit means we're going to give you the deals and information, the brands you care about, while keeping this show free to enjoy every week. Free to enjoy every week. It means you don't have to pay to subscribe for nothing. All right, and if you don't care about helping us and making the show better, do it for the chance to win a free iTunes or Amazon.com gift card, right? You know, like, do it for free. Do it for the gifts. And if there's not, you know, just think about it. If there's not that many of you doing it, there's a better chance to win. So please, do us this solid and go to thecornersurvey.com. Once again, that's thecornersurvey.com. Do that. Keep the lights on for us. Let us cater to what you need. You know, you can tell us what you like and what you don't like. And then we can keep it all funky and knock this thing out.
I know the Corner Club got our back. You guys are going to fill out that survey. We're going to get more ads. We're going to be bringing you this for free for a long, long time. So shout out to y'all. What's up, everybody? We are back. Shout out to the sponsors. Make sure you guys go out there and support. Use the promo code as well. But before we went to break, we teased the Floyd Mayweather angle. Mayweather's been in the news for more than just Conor. He's taking pictures arm in arm with presidential-elect Donald Trump.
Wait. You're telling me that Floyd, All Lives Matter Mayweather, is hanging out with Donald Trump? I don't believe it.
I'm telling you. His next fight, he got to come out to black Republicans. That's it. If he comes back, he comes out to that, and Trump walks him to the cage.
Andreas is so fucking... Andreas is so disgusted right now.
Yo, I saw the picture.
Trump and Bieber.
That's your boy, dude.
Not my boy.
He's gone opposite of what you're mad at.
That's the pillar of the black community.
You're like, you know, Floyd never speaks up about black issues, right. And now he's gone to the opposite end. And he's like, he's fucking arm in arm with Trump.
Like, everybody's busy trashing Colin Kaepernick for not voting.
Hell yeah.
Mayweather does this, and it's like...
Floyd being Floyd.
Did Floyd vote?
You want to be mad about something?
You damn right he voted.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure he's happy as shit right now.
You sure?
He's up there in the percentile, like, as far as getting tax breaks.
To a booth and vote.
You're right. No, I'm not saying he's not happy. I don't believe for 1 second he voted.
Oh, I'm not sure if he's happy as shit with the outcome.
The only booth he goes to is a casino cage. Yeah.
No more of that. You don't got to gamble to write that shit off anymore. Like, you don't got to find ways to spend money to get fucking tax breaks now.
No, I'm just disgusted. I'm just, like, the conversation of Colin Kaepernick and him not voting, and you see Floyd Mayweather with Trump and people going to give him a pass or what have you.
Yeah.
It's just disgusting.
Danny, you were in New York. Any fighters outside of the unnamed fighter in support of Trump really even talk about the election or decision? I haven't heard anything.
What were going on while you were there?
Yeah. But those were people. Yeah. I haven't heard a fighter.
It was tumultuous is what I'm saying. He was there during
the... I haven't heard any combat sports fighters speak up.
Khabib Legal Nurmagomedov refused to talk about politics. He was asked if he...
It's because he hangs out with war criminals. Like, legit crazy-ass dictators and shit. Look up Kardarov. You guys just Google Kardarov.
Well, I already know about Kardarov.
Right. No, not you. I'm talking to listeners. Yeah. Google Kardarov. That's Khabib's buddy.
Man, the Floyd situation, yeah. I mean, is it surprising?
No.
Hell no.
You know?
He's a billionaire.
He's been out for himself from day one.
He doesn't care.
He didn't put boxing over. He didn't do anything for anybody except himself.
No.
And that's a great businessman for himself. Horrible man for boxing.
And hey. If there is no other individual sport in all of sports, what it is boxing. It is the ultimate selfish, get paid, run through everybody, give a shit about your opponent.
But it's so weird.
Else.
Like, it's so... I bring this up every time. It's steeped in just... social commentary and people who are willing to stand up for what they were in.
That's because of Ali and others.
Regardless, Ali, but before that, if you were immigrant, if you were Irish and all this, they always spoke up against, you know, fair wages and all this stuff.
Schmeling and Lewis. Yeah, I mean, you talk about political stages.
Jack Johnson.
Yeah, and it's
you can go run down the line.
And it's nothing now. Like, talking about, like, it's gone to nothing in the next climate.
That's sports. Yeah. Kaepernick's the only one doing anything worthwhile.
And that's why people
even the NBA players. The NBA players are like, we got to do more than Neil. It's like, really, motherfucker? Because all the millions that have been given throughout decades have done nothing for anybody. But him kneeling for that anthem did more for attention. I mean, everyone
conversation.
Absolutely.
For a conversation.
People are having the conversation.
And combat sports was always where that was, first and foremost. Because you can make money as a heel. So if people want to hate you for it, it's going to translate into dollars. Because they'll find someone.
Just go fight for it.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Fight for whatever you believe in.
Yeah.
But no one has said anything.
That is a credit to Conor. He's kind of doing it in a low-key way in terms of bumping up the money for everybody because he's treating MMA like boxing.
Did we all see the video of Conor dancing in the club to fuck Donald Trump by YG?
I did see that
shit. Yep. Yeah. Connor,
word for word, by the way.
And, you know, and he sticks up for, you know, he stuck up for gay rights.
And immigrants.
So, immigrants. So he definitely hates Trump, which is awesome. So to all those McGregor haters who also hate Trump, you might want to start.
Right.
Yeah, but not a Cain Velasquez, not a... Not one Mexican fighter. No guy wants to build a fucking wall around your country.
Well, how are you when you work for a company so obviously vindictive, and then you have that same guy speak at Donald Trump's
convention.
The first convention.
And tweeted him.
I mean, yeah, there's got to be legit fear in regards to speaking out because that's his boy. I mean, they're obviously tight. He put his whole neck and company out there to go speak at a neo-Nazi, white supremacist, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Yep. Racist, bigots, fucking...
Yeah, let's shake Dana's white feet for New Balance. Let's see if he's wearing
it. All right, so...
R.I.P. All right, Kovalev Ward.
Yeah.
Shit, I mean, we have a black man and what...
A
Russian, an immigrant, like a foreigner and a black man.
This is the understated Apollo Creed versus Ivan Drago fight because Creed is in war to completely different person, personality wise. But this is America against Russia.
Yep.
31-0.
Yeah.
I paid for one fight in my life, and that was Jermaine Taylor, Kelly Pavlik, too. Mm. On Saturday, that was 9 years ago, I will be paying for my second fight to see live.
And it's great. It's
insane. It's
honestly
fight.
For the number one pound for pound.
Better than Mayweather Pacquiao, better than anything that we've seen in 20 years.
And I don't know if people are buying it.
It is a literal 50-50 fight.
And it's a matchup of styles.
Yeah.
So if you love that,
power versus technique. Yep.
You guys are putting the temporary credentials around your neck because you guys are doing 5-week stuff. And
well, Kel never takes us off. Kel knows.
That's true.
I've seen him wear it to the club. It's not a joke. He wears it to the club.
I don't care about taking a shot.
I gotta tell him to tuck it in.
The poster for Ward Kovalev, it says it all. Pound for pound. That is the only sale you need for this fight.
That is.
Pound for pound.
Yeah.
And it's one of the best boxing fights of our generation. We will not see two talents like this. And hopefully, if it's good, if there's enough behind it, we'll get a rivalry out of it. Because these guys need each other. This is it.
Well,
we can get people behind it in a big way. And another...
I have no faith in boxing.
And I don't think it's dead. Then Andre Ward would be a major star. Kovalev would be a big star. Even guys like David LeBron.
That's on Andre Ward. I have no faith, not in boxing. I have no faith in Andre Ward.
Shout out to Rock Nation.
He let us down so badly after the Super Six. I'm just talking as a boxing fan. I feel, I guess for lack of a better term, butthurt that he went through and did this amazing accomplishment with these great fighters and then never ran them back. He didn't do the ones that he missed. He didn't do the ones that he had.
He didn't fight at all. He didn't fight at all.
He beat Chad Dawson. He moved up and beat Chad Dawson.
Big.
Can't forget about that. But then he had his contract dispute with Dan Goosen, which hung him up, and then he had injuries. Then upon his comeback, when Kathy Duva and Rock Nation verbally agree for this fight, he fights Sullivan Barrera, Paul Smith. It's like, how...
Alexander Brand.
Yeah, how do you increase your stock fighting these guys?
Where's those?
You don't?
Like, he was waiting for Kovalev.
That's all he was doing.
He was waiting for Kovalev.
I talked to him about it the other day, and he was like, well, they were top ranked in the IBF, and I'm like, but nobody gave a fuck about those guys. It's hard to make people generate public interest when you're not doing anything. Like, when Pacquiao was rolling Ricky Hatton, Oscar De La Hoya, the interest was there. But when you wait, like, this is going to be a great fight.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Nobody cares.
That's people see the highlights on Twitter, and that's all that matters.
All they have is each other. Light heavyweight division has been dead.
Exactly. Like, Kovalev beat Hopkins, 4 years ago?
I think it was 3 years
three,
ago.
Three years ago,
right? And then he had a good win after that.
Yeah, Pascal. Before that, he beat Nathan Cleverly.
Yeah.
Isaac Chalemba. Like,
the Pascal fight wasn't a good fight, though. He outmatched Pascal.
He just dragged him.
Yeah,
he
outclassed him, which is crazy.
But what Kovalev does
is... Pascal's pretty good.
He's established a precedence of dominance over the light heavyweight division, where he can hurt people. And Ward's moving into into his territory. So that makes it interesting.
And that's the thing, too, about Ward is, like, he should take this time to prepare for someone like Kovalev.
Yes.
You know, like, yeah, those fights weren't interesting, but he needed to be back. He needed to be, like, people talk about Jersey Paradis being reintroduced. No. Andre Ward definitely needed to be introduced.
And he had the machine to do so, and they didn't do it.
He didn't have
like, why isn't he on the Breakfast Club?
He's just not.
Jay-Z can walk in Power 105 whenever he wants and sit down. Why isn't he on the Breakfast Club? Why is he on BET?
They're in turmoil right now. Like, David Iskowitz, who was the head of Rock Nation Boxing, is out. They have somebody else in now. Like, between Ward and Miguel Cotto, they don't do anything but fight. And they get a lot of money to fight. And that's all they do is fight. So
the head man in charge with the Rock symbol holds so much power that the buildup for Ward as a black champion or the next great black fighter should have been so damn easy.
Well, I think that shows you where his interest is in boxing and athletes.
Let's see if he shows up on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I have no faith that he's going to be at this fight. Yeah. He'll send like J. Cole or something. Just like a representative.
205.
Right.
No matter what he told Dana.
Yeah.
Dana, he's lying to you.
That's it. He's great at that.
Who wins this fight?
Man.
Fuck.
A true 50-50
fight. I have.
I got pushed in the corner. I had to make a pick.
I'll give it to Sergey. I think maybe he drops him once, and it's the difference.
I have no idea, but I'm going to go Ward strictly on usually speed and technique beats power. And Andre Ward is at the level that you would make that argument. He is the top of the top, and he is, technically speaking, one of the better we've seen in decades. So, but then you flip that around, and it's like Kovalev's a pressure fighter, the likes of, I mean, it's I would say we haven't seen in a while, but we got Triple G.
He's a bigger Triple G.
Right? So we're living in an era of, you got Lomachenko, you got him.
Eastern Europeans.
Yeah, Eastern Europeans are killing it right now. So because I get to go as a fan, maybe I'll be rooting for Kovalev because I think he might be better for boxing. I think Ward has proven that he's a game player and he's not interested in pushing the sport. Similar to Mayweather, he's out for himself. And Kovalev, I truly believe, is out for the biggest challenges and for boxing. So I think I'd like to see Kovalev win.
If Kovalev wins, I think they run it back.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
If Ward wins, I think he might just take it and run.
Well, hopefully
with the victory.
Hopefully it's a great
way to go.
Hopefully it's a great fight, so the interest is there for a second fight.
That's what I'm saying. I think that is what this fight is about, really. I mean, someone's got to go, right? And these guys, they could continue this for the next 2 to 3 years, and they should. They should. Right?
Fight, take a warm-up fight each in between, fight again.
Run it back. Don't even take it. Who are we going to warm up against?
I don't know. Andre Ward's been taking warm-up fights for
the last. It seems like the MO, though. Yeah, I mean, it seems like
I'm good on Andre Ward warm-up fights. Time to run the gauntlet.
These guys, they need to do this for boxing. Like, we're talking about how good this fight is. If they continue this, just because people don't know it this time, don't mean that they won't know it the second time or the third time.
Right,
they will. They need, these guys are great characters.
Yep.
These guys need to be out there. If this was the 1990s, this would be a massive.
And and it's so easy to sell. You have the tape on Kovalev that you just bust out the tape, and then you've got the numbers on Ward and the gold medal. 31. Yeah,
he hasn't lost a fight in his life.
Yeah, he's been. And that's the thing is, like, we look at the last 2 or 3 years where he's been MIA.
Yeah.
But for the last 10 years, he's been at the forefront of boxing conversation.
Yeah, in a large degree.
That should matter, but it's falling short. And that's
the second one would definitely be bigger than the first if it was to come
depending
about.
On how it's a fight.
Well, it's like Thurman Porter. Like we saw in Thurman Porter, it was like, okay, we think there's going to be a great fight. Turned out to be an amazing fight. If they run that back, everyone's tuning in.
No, but here's the thing. I don't even think Thurman Porter is able to draw on a mainstream level. I think Ward Kovalev is.
Oh, because it's number one. You have more to sell.
If it's a similar style fight, which
we expect, because going into Porter, Thurman, we're like they're evenly matched, you know.
There's something about Eastern Europeans, too, in boxing.
Point, though, screw what drunk Oscar De La Hoya says. It's 2016 has been an excellent year for boxing.
Yes.
Despite all the crap, despite the fact that Triple G, Canelo won't fight because of whatever Oscar's doing or not.
Boxing is healthy.
Yeah.
This, pound for pound, Ward Kovalev, in a year when we got Carl Frampton, Leo Santa Cruz, Vargas Salido, right? And then...
we have Lomachenko Walters next week.
Yes.
I just found out about that. I'm so happy.
You know,
I get to Chelsea. I'm like that. He's like, you need to go. I didn't know if that was happening.
Oh, that's gonna be a fucking amazing fight.
Lomachenko's a boss. Post stuff out this year.
Yeah.
It's just the business of boxing.
Of course.
The appeal to the mainstream is just horrible.
Right? But to hardcore fans of boxing, it is a healthy,
good
vibrant.
And and this fight's in trouble because Pacquiao, Vargas, did 300,000 buys. So you're splitting the baby here because people that were gonna pay for one had to make a decision.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people buy this fight.
And Pacquiao actually packed out the Thomas and Mack, which I was surprised.
Pay-per-view was buying that shit.
Yeah. What shirt are you wearing, Dre? I can't see the. I thought it was, I thought it was something Kimbo
he's
Slice.
He's got an ear in his mouth.
Oh, okay. It's an 8-bit Tyson with an ear in his mouth.
Punch out Mike Tyson with a bitten ear for my guys at the conference. They sent this to me.
Guys.
Got the sponsor. No.
Box is just in a rough place right now. This fight, like Kovalev told me, it was like if Ward wins, it's bad for boxing. Ward beats me,
I totally agree.
He's like, I'm excited. I like to fight.
Yep.
Nobody wants to watch his style of fight.
Yeah.
It's not wrong.
No.
It's true. Andre Ward fights his way no matter what.
And we like it. We all like it, right? I mean, we appreciate it. We appreciate it. Yeah.
If there's any time to sell the Ivan Drago big bad foreigner narrative, this is the time. Because we know people are kind of in that, like, crazy rationale, like xenophobic, like this is the time to sell that shit. Yeah. Fuck Trump.
Yeah. I'll fight all of you.
Mother Russia. Everyone. Like, just go fucking crazy.
Everyone should be cutting real Trump promos. you're staying silent and you're an athlete. Fuck it. If you're staying silent and you're anybody, you fucking have a long look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, what am I doing here? Yeah. Because this shit's crazy.
To me,
it's taking all my energy not to just fully go off on a tangent and be like,
what the fuck
did you do, America? What did you do? Because I'm waking up every day in a nightmare, and I know the majority of listeners feel the same way because you're smart because you listen to Dre and Co. Well, you listen to Dre.
And you argue with Kel on Twitter,
as
you should.
And you're as frustrated with Kel as we all are.
Yeah, but to me, that's the appeal of this fight. The real nuts and bolts appeal is that if someone has any chance to beat Kovalev, it has to be the best boxing mind currently in the game, not discounting Floyd. Right, but Ward, his acumen is masterclass. He's a PhD.
Yep.
Like he could. I went to the fight against Chad Dawson, and for Chad Dawson to only land like 11 punches, he barely cracked double digits over the course of 11 rounds. That is incredible. He landed like 1.2 punches a round. That's how good defensively Andre Ward is, and to have a long career in the sport, it takes that. It takes that. So I think that there is a possibility that we'll see this fight two or three times because Ward hasn't taken, he hasn't been in wars. And Kovalev, man, I don't want to mess with him, you know? So it's
It's going to be great. Make sure you guys all tune into that. We still have press conferences and everything to go to. So our recap next week is going to be great. We're expecting a great fight.
Oh, for the record, I'm picking Kovalev by split decision.
Okay.
Oh, by split.
By split.
Are you guys?
You shave that shit as close as you can to not picking anyone.
But I'll explain why. It'll be Ward's inactivity that'll do him in.
That's it.
Okay. If Kovalev lands the heavier punches, the judge is going to see it his way. There'll be a 115-113 score that goes both ways and like a 116-112.
You guys aren't doing any love for NXT and Survivor Series?
Yeah, we're coming back.
Oh, okay.
We got one more break. Right. Make sure you guys take the survey.
I was jumping the gun. I was like, wait a minute, what about pro wrestling, the real political theater?
Make sure you guys take this survey, help out the show. We really appreciate it. It's for us and our sponsors. So take that for us. Listen to it. We explain it all. When we come back, we have pro wrestling, NXT, and Survivor Series.
Real sports.
Yeah, he can't wait to talk about Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar. He's just jumping out of his seat, so stay tuned. Before we continue to talk more combat sports, we've got to give another thanks to Casper Mattresses. Casper Mattresses combine two technologies, springing latex foam and supportive memory foam, to create an award-winning sleep surface. Have y'all ever slept on memory foam? It's like floating on air. It's that great. And this is how we get our sleep. So you guys make sure that you check it out. Casper Mattresses are made in the USA and have free shipping and returns to the US and Canada. Shout out to the Great North. You can buy your Casper mattress easy online, and it's completely risk-free.
Look, dude, you spend like a third of your life sleeping, and Casper understands the importance of trying out a mattress before you commit. Look, so if you aren't satisfied with the Casper mattress, you got a 100-day period. Yeah, that's right, 100 days. You know, like 100 days of sleeping, by about that time, I think I know if I like my mattress. So get a Casper mattress for $500 for a twin or $950 for a king size. And you can save an additional $50 towards your Casper mattress by going to casper.com/thecorner and entering the promo code thecorner. That's casper.com/thecorner. Promo code thecorner to save $50 towards your Casper purchase. Terms and conditions apply. Look, again, man, I like to sleep, and these things are for real.
All All right, everybody, welcome back. We're talking pro wrestling, tons of it this weekend, Survivor Series. But the main show, the real gem, is NXT TakeOver Toronto.
As always.
Yeah, we have to be on a freeze again.
We'll be at the war. Yeah. Cold weather fight.
Again, so we're not going to be able to see it until Sunday.
Yeah. Are we going to watch it?
Are we going to watch it? I guess we're deciding now.
You come to my crib.
Come to your crib? Well, big screen?
No. Yeah. Dre's out. You can come.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be all over. Right.
And so we'll not watch NXT on Saturday, but we'll watch it
Sunday before Survivor Series, okay, like usual.
Well, I don't have to watch the Bears, so that's good.
You really don't got to watch the Niners either.
Yeah, but at least you got Colin Kaepernick. We got a Trump supporter in the overall.
My Giants are okay, but
Kaepernick's playing decent ball. The Niners' run defense is putrid.
Yeah, my Giants win, but I know how this story is going to go. It's going to be a close game. We might lose in a fourth. Eli's going to have two picks. I don't got to watch that shit.
I can brag about the Raiders, but I'll be humble.
Yeah. Oh, the Vegas Raiders? Enjoy them while you have them.
Oakland Raiders. Well,
enjoy. The fun thing about Danny is Danny was a diehard Niners fan for his whole life, and then when they moved to Santa Clara and went all one percenter, Danny was gone.
I went straight to the
full heel. Full heel. And to Danny's credit, he has not relented. He is straight fucked the Niners.
Did you burn
your Ronnie Lott jersey?
No, I'd never do that because he was a Raider.
Yep. You should have colored in.
Actually, to that point, I'm getting the Raiders Ronnie Lott jersey, and those are the only two football jerseys I'll have.
Good for you.
Yep. All right.
That's how you turn coach.
Let's talk TakeOver.
TakeOver Toronto should be a good card top to bottom. We're not going to touch on the three-way women's match because that's kind of just a space filler, and we don't know who that third person is yet. But we'll probably get to see that
three-way women's match. I thought it was just Mickie James and the
it's a three-on-three tag match.
Oh yeah, who
Ember Moon? Yeah, we'll get the Ember Moon spot with the fucking stunner.
That's what it is.
And that would be dope. Yeah. That's everything she's in. We have Dusty Rhodes Classic. We have TM61 versus Authors of Pain.
Authors of Pain time.
Authors of Pain. It's time to let the heels win the tournament. Last year we had the good, you know, the feel good angle with, you know, Joe when he was still.
And you gotta get him over.
Finn.
You gotta get him over.
Paul Ellering's there. You need a lethal tag team to take over that division. So, and if Gargano and Ciampa can beat the Revival, which is possible.
Yeah.
Then Authors of Pain, feuding with the faces.
As fun as they are, they're not beating.
Yeah, I'm going to win for the tag division in NXT because if you were to do the heel versus heel with the Revival against Authors of Pain, or Authors of Pain versus DIY, Ciampa and Gargano, then you have real solid options for the next 6 months of NXT's tag division.
And Authors of Pain, to me, they're built correctly where they can go versus another heel tandem. Because they're kind of like monster heels. They're in a different level of being heels. They have the manager. Yeah. They have everything. So you kind of even sympathize with the gritty heels. Like if they went against.
And how good is the Revival that you're like, I want to see their bag of dirty tricks.
The big ass. Yeah.
You know? How do they figure this one out?
Yep.
How do they get out of this one?
And we just watched the most recent episode of NXT. Great promo by the Revival.
Yeah.
Old school.
Well, that's what they do.
Yeah.
They're old school.
They do everything right.
They just dove in the film crates and watched everything.
So here's the question before we officially talk about the 2 out of 3 falls match. How long does the Revival stay in NXT?
Man.
Oh, Mania?
Forever.
Yeah.
Right?
No, Mania.
How thin the rest, SmackDown and Raw really are. I mean, it's bad looking, but it's also thin.
SmackDown's horrible.
Yeah.
In the tag team division.
Yeah, it is.
Look at their champions.
They brought up Mojo Rawley and Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
In a featured role.
It's criminal.
I can't believe there's this much talent under WWE contract and everything seems so thin. NXT, SmackDown, and Raw.
And it sucks.
And it's unwatchable.
It's how did you figure out how to fuck this
up? If you took all the best talent in your company and put it on one show, like if there wasn't the brand split, you would have the greatest era of professional wrestling we've ever
Correct.
Seen. And they've got
Wouldn't be
signed.
Enough time.
It's not. They don't even need to go out and sign them. They've done that.
Yeah.
They've signed
the
people they needed to sign. They've just fucked it up on a level that I didn't even think.
I don't even know if they have enough time for that shit, though.
Yeah, I don't. It's really unfortunate. But at least we have NXT, and we're getting that great lineage of that recycling of that belt. When you look at the last 5-6 dudes who have had that belt, starting with Tyler, Seth Rollins, it's crazy.
Those have been great.
Yeah.
Neville, all those guys. You run down the list. Great champions.
Yeah. I guess the odd man out there is Bo, but he's great. And he's just getting toasted in the main roster.
I'll take Authors of Pain. So all Authors of Pain. TM61, they're gonna put on a good match. I think it was two matches ago. Authors of Pain actually went, and they had a good match.
Yeah.
Who the hell were they wrestling? Their semifinal match.
Wasn't that a Tommy and Perkins? No, it wasn't.
No,
it
was, Ibushi.
Ibushi.
Yeah. I mean, Ibushi.
Yeah, they
was
had
it. Ibushi.
Yeah,
they had
was
a.
It? No Way Jose and Swan.
No, no, it wasn't. No,
that was a squash match.
Yeah, that was a squash match. So it had to be Ibushi and Perkins, and it was a good match.
Yeah.
And I was like, they can actually wrestle.
One of the big guys took a German suplex.
Yeah. Almost lost. Almost lost his neck.
Those guys are athletic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Speaking of almost losing your neck, go back and watch the last NXT where the same match against DIY and Authors of Pain, the double. The double when he catches
Like the Razor Ramon.
He catches Gargano off the top and he flips them both back. Ciampa almost gets his head crushed
underneath. I was like, damn. But it was a great spot though.
It was, yeah.
I was damn, he's strong as hell. Yeah.
Wrist, he's doing a fall away slam and a Samoan drop. Yeah. On two guys
that are big. Yeah. Ciampa's big.
Yeah, it's Gargano's that was a great match too though.
It was. So we're all
so Authors of Pain. Whoever
nothing
they
else for more than Ellering. You got to put Ellering over. You got him out here.
Yeah,
he's a legend.
He's doing great though.
Yeah, of course he is.
Doing great.
Now he's doing more heel stuff like choking people out in the corner, which I love. Hey, that's what we need more hair pulls. We need more eye pokes. I'm serious. We need more like legit heel. Yes, absolutely. Ball shots. Anything you can do. You know, I think hair pulling is a great one. I always love that when they grab the back of the head and the ref would snap. Not me. I just it's simple stuff because I mean the business has been exposed, right? Yeah, so let's get theatrical with it. Let's make it,
Revival versus DIY. Ciampa and Gargano. I think it's their time. I think Ciampa and Gargano go over. I think they get the belts.
I think they go up to the main roster. I think this is the last time we see them on NXT.
Yeah.
Okay. I think, define main roster. I think they'll slide into that 205 Live section of things.
But where is the Gargano-Ciampa feud? It seems like they've been teasing it forever.
Yeah. Ciampa let him down, and then Gargano let him down, and then like blaming, the blame game.
And it may make Ciampa the face and Gargano the heel. Like, they need to go to 205 Live or whatever.
Yeah.
Because they'll be a key feud for
Jesus Christ, the Cruiserweight division sucks.
Both that show is going to save them.
It only sucks because they're not letting them work matches.
Exactly, but that's why it sucks.
That show, 205 Live, I have the utmost confidence in. It's going to be...
I have no confidence in anything they do.
Like, ROH status. Because these are indie guys. It's going to be an indie show.
But it's not the indie league. They don't do that, dude.
Yeah.
I have faith in the production and everything.
I don't have faith in anything. So let's keep it moving. So
Revival DIY. So you have Revival.
I'm picking the Revival.
Yeah, me too.
Same.
Damn, it's going to be hard to get the belts off of these guys then.
Yeah.
It's to me, if the Revival win, then TM61 would win.
It's weird because, the Revival is one of those tag teams that actually kind of need the tag belts.
Yeah.
Because it keeps them relevant.
Yeah.
Because they don't have, these overbearing personalities, but the fact that they keep winning.
Well, they have personality. I would say it's a moveset.
They have personality, but it's the way, their style of wrestling is you want to see them with the titles.
Yep.
Somebody has to chase them, so it makes sense. So I'm picking the Revival.
And they've already got a nice... kind of chain link of dominance, right? Like we've got a narrative here with them that has been building, and they've been dominant for a while. So unless you got serious plans to put those other two, Ciampa and Gargano, over, which I don't think they do.
Don't.
Yeah, so
they don't.
I don't think they're a real tag team. I think it's exactly what you said. They put together to eventually feud.
If they win, though, I think they're just the people who give the belts to the Authors of Pain. Just that face tag team.
I could see that.
For their Authors of Pain to just take the belts from.
I could see that.
And then move on.
Rather than have a heel versus heel.
Exactly.
Title. I could see that.
And then that allows the Revival to just kind of maybe put over TM61.
Speaking of that, I heard something happened on SmackDown to where that might have happened. A title shift. I didn't watch SmackDown, so I'm behind. But a title switched hands to where.
Oh, it did. Well, hit that.
I know we're getting ahead of myself. But
Let's go Bobby Roode versus Ty Dillinger. Who is the best jobber in the WWE? He's incredible.
He is. Bobby Roode's going to win this.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. And it won't hurt Ty Dillinger at all.
They did a great story with Ty Dillinger building him up. So I didn't know he was in WWE for 10
me either.
Years,
no. You know? That promo was good. So I was like, okay, you root for Ty Dillinger. They give you that, compassion. I want to see him go, and Roode's going to crush him.
And Bobby Roode is absolutely wasted in NXT because he's an all-world A-plus level talent that needs to be.
He better use that DDT as his finisher.
Yeah, I love that DDT.
Because the glorious slam or glorious bomb, that shit was horrible. Yeah. He used his first time out.
Yeah.
This DDT just takes his character to the next level. It has that viciousness.
Like I said before, he should never be NXT champion.
Hell
he should be fast-tracked.
Hell
yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So everything that he's built for is main roster.
If they fast track him, that's fine. It better be at the Rumble. He better be a surprise entrant. Yeah. And I just want that shit to go dark and glorious.
I don't need that. I don't need that.
With that entrance, and he just comes out in a robe in the spotlight.
At the Rumble,
I'll lose my shit.
Yeah,
I don't need it.
I'll lose my shit more than. I did for AJ Styles when he was the surprise entrant.
But see, I don't need that Bobby
and they botched that
at
shit.
The Rumble.
No, I need it Mania.
The day after Mania.
Yeah.
I need Rue or Shinsuke. Yeah. I need one of their entrances at the Rumble.
Because here's my problem with the Royal Rumble. Just like I said last year, when you bring them in, it's a great pop, but then they get lost in the shuffle and get thrown out. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It only matters if they win, but they don't do that because they don't hotshot anyone anymore.
Yeah, they're not. Like,
these guys are ready to come in and be in the top few, and they don't let them. It's what's wrong.
Well, there's two belts now. I mean, somehow you can. No, at the top.
There's so many belts.
Yeah.
So I mean, only so if you win the Rumble, you can only get one, right? So I figure if you leave them in the last two.
What are they gonna do?
Yeah, I don't know how that shit's gonna work.
They've taken every single one of their belts and taken their validity and cut it in half.
Yeah.
Just been like, okay, we didn't give a shit about before. You're really not gonna give a shit about it now.
They all look ugly. The only one that I like looking at
is the normal one.
Title.
Yep. Oh yeah, no, that was great.
I will say
AJ Styles belt is nice.
Better than this. It's better.
And turn that shit blue.
Better than the spinner belt. That's why. So I just always, I'm always gonna use that. At least it's not the spinner belt. Kind of like the way I'm. If I would have known about George, or if I would have known about Trump when George Bush was president.
Heenan belt. Forever.
I'm like, at least it's not Trump.
Heenan
eagle belt forever.
Yep. Oh yes, yeah,
absolutely. How do they not still have that?
I don't know. Why? They gotta bring that back.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Poor title.
Yeah.
Think about how disgusting that is.
Ugh. All right, Asuka versus Mickey James. It's pretty easy.
I mean, Asuka's gonna
win.
Oh yeah, Asuka.
Like, so Mickey's it's a one-off.
Yeah, I don't know if they have any plans for Mickey. They could use her because they need another woman at the division. That division's floundering.
Back on SmackDown.
She's aging,
right?
And could that never does Neil bodes well for. I mean, look at how great Lita still looks, and I'm sure I know she's had injuries and stuff, but it's a young girl's game. But Michelle McCool was out when she was 29.
Have her go to SmackDown on the 900 episode after she loses, right?
No, they already had the 900.
Yeah. It was the go home show. Was 900.
We gotta watch that.
Oh yeah, so I'm behind a week.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's like, maybe she moves up, which isn't bad, and it just buys time for Ember Moon versus Asuka at WrestleMania. That's really,
they need to run that for a year, a real female feud with great matches.
We'll get it twice. She'll lose probably the first time, and then win WrestleMania. Asuka'll be up.
Aren't we on 6 months with Joe and Nakamura?
Yeah.
So there you go. They could do the same with her.
It's true. Talking about Joe and Nock, we have Joe and Nock.
Yeah.
Part two.
I love it. I love
the build.
I love the build. It's so
physical.
This is how pro wrestling should be. No, it's not even the physicality, which I do agree with you. It's nice that they're doing that. It's the actual time put behind the feud.
Yeah.
And let's just talk about how good Joe is as a heel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That and last promo he cut, get out.
And Nakamura's not even a face anymore. He's just like in some weird blend of shit.
Yeah.
But now he's beating the shit out of like the security, put a guy through a table. He does whatever he wants.
Super G status.
Yeah.
All right, so what happens in this match?
Poor Tommy. He's never coming back, by the way.
Is that true?
No, I'm just saying. Like, he's just buried by Nock now.
For sure.
So does Nakamura retain? And Joe goes to the main roster?
Joe wins the title. Nock is gone.
Nock's not gone yet. He's not losing.
I think Joe wins the title. Nock goes up. He debuts Royal Rumble.
You are so fantasy booking hotshot bull.
All right.
Nakamura is not going to the main roster.
Dude, the Rumble's not like, Rumble's like 2-3 months away.
2 months away.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to pull
from NXT. Well, that's NXT builds. So their next NXT pay-per-view
is
the Rumble. Yeah. And then usually whoever goes up gets the one-off show. Like, you get the tip of your hat show.
I think this will continue until that show.
Yeah, I think this is going to be almost a year-long feud. Yeah, I agree.
Nakamura in January.
Maybe, I don't know if Joe goes over here or if they go to a no contest. Like, this is that type of match where they can have a non-finish and I'd be okay.
Straight DQ, like they just beat the hell out of each other.
Because you know it would be leading to 3 more months of awesomeness.
Exactly. I know, they're still being advertised for the touring shows together. So
there you go,
Even though I didn't see all that stuff for, I think it was like the Australia tours and everything. And then right at the end, they've added, I think it was like Superstars May Change.
They always do that.
Yeah, like
it's hurt.
Yeah. They're booking a cage match versus Joe and Nock in Australia.
Well, that's not bad. I'd see that in January.
Shout out Submission Radio in Australia. They're going to that. Dennis, what's up, Dennis?
No, you're apparently.
Hopefully, they run that back here.
Yeah.
They get a lot of BDSM inquiries.
I bet they do. Yeah. Submission Radio. Really? Holy shit! I didn't even think about that.
Rebrand
with whips and ball gags.
Better idea that I ever made.
I'm gonna say that maybe Joe goes over here to get the title off, and they extend this feud.
Making a knock chases now.
Yeah, I'm fine with it either way. I just want a better match than the last match they had because that last match didn't hit that fifth gear.
No.
I would almost agree with that. I'd have to go, but we watched it at your house. I'd almost have to go back
that
and watch
it.
It
was like an emotionally exhausting experience because the card was so good.
It was so good. But it was a good match, but between
one of the best tag matches I've ever seen.
Yeah. Like, they should have phenomenal matches.
Yeah. I think they definitely fight again after this because I don't know who else is ready to step into the main event.
More important question, are we getting the super awesome live violin walkout?
No.
Okay.
No.
No. No. Saving that for Mania.
Yeah. No. He had his walkout. We're not gonna get the Bobby Roode super come down from a pillar. One. Someone else might get like a really dope entrance, but not those.
All my dreams this week. Yeah. Huh?
All right, so that's NXT.
NXT, and then we have Survivor Series. What Ryan's really here to talk about.
Oh, Jesus.
Brian Kendrick versus Kalisto kicks that off.
Obviously, Kalisto's going to win.
Kalisto's going
to
win.
The Cruiserweight division goes to SmackDown. It's been in purgatory since they brought it to Raw.
This is where it should have been.
But you know what? The problem is, switching brands don't matter. They ruined the division already.
Well, no, they can have one Cruiserweight match to end, well, not to end SmackDown, but to on SmackDown every week, and then it rolls right into 205 Live.
But here's the problem.
Which is right after. It's the
Who
same night.
Who do you care about on the Cruiserweight roster right now?
But they got to build that during 205 Live.
Well, I mean, me, all of them, but not.
But I'm just saying, like, as far as talent is concerned, we know they all got talent.
Still, Matt Neville's not in this
shit. The Sin Cara Brian Kendrick match for this week was horrible.
Yeah.
How do you reward Kalisto after cutting the world's worst promo in 2016? How do you, like, hey, you know what, buddy, we're going to give you a title?
I think they just sent him to SmackDown and just kept his ass there and quiet.
It was just an excuse. Like, we got to get him to SmackDown. Who's over there? Who's light? And they'd be like, okay, he can hold it for a second.
The problem with this division is it has no personality. And Kalisto winning still doesn't have any personality. The only way that you inject personality, in my opinion, is send a heel Neville over there.
Yeah.
I like heel Neville.
The champ. Like, somebody has to do something. There is no personality in the Cruiserweight division.
Yeah, and if they trade the belt to Kalisto, it's too much for the division so early on. And Kendrick and Perkins did a good job as the initial feud, but...
It didn't go long enough.
Yeah. It didn't go long enough.
That's another thing.
And the personalities in the matches, and they're not letting the matches have the personality.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I'm picking Kalisto to win because SmackDown doesn't necessarily need the division, but it needs a hard reboot.
Yeah. I have faith in SmackDown. So, more so than Raw.
I got faith in nothing.
I have faith in nothing, especially right now. In this period between like SummerSlam and the Royal Rumble.
Thought you were referencing Trump again.
That too.
We have Raw versus SmackDown Live. 10-on-10 tag team match.
What?
Fast forward.
Fuck.
What?
Here's what I'm going to say.
American Alpha better go over in this shit.
Glad you're saying
so. Either American Alpha wins, or the club wins, or this shit doesn't matter. Nobody else wins.
Oh, if the New Day wins, then it's just a fucking wash.
Enzo and Cass shouldn't win. Slater and Rhino shouldn't win. Oh. The Hype Bros and Fabrizio Angle, like, yo.
I didn't even know they were in it.
Man,
the Golden Truth is in this. Are they in this match? Oh no, the Shining Stars.
Shining Stars took their spot.
Sack of steaming shit.
Like, this would be the pre-show.
Yeah, absolutely.
They could have made Breezango such nasty heels, and they just did nothing.
They just did nothing with it.
If it was Febreze, it would work so much better than Breezango.
Well, I'm pretty sure there's a copyright.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You spell it different, I think.
F-U-H.
E-N-A? Yeah, fuck Breeze.
A promotion run by Kel so fucking bad.
No, listen, take the lawsuit. Take the lawsuit.
We have seen that. It's called TNA.
Yo, TNA is the worst shit I ever watched, by the way. I watched this shit a week ago. I think I put it on a group chat. I was like, this shit is unbearable.
Yeah. I wouldn't know. I did watch Final Deletion, though. That shit was magical.
I could watch that shit. No, like the weekly product is horrible.
Well, Final Deletion was goat. Drones.
Yeah, no, as good as Lucha Underground is on a weekly basis, this show is equally shit.
Deals with Corbin. What's it?
So do we have a pick for this? Is anybody picking? Or do we
hell,
no,
five?
No. American Alpha.
Yeah.
Fuck
sure.
it. Whatever.
I'll
there you go.
Yeah.
Cool. 5-on-5 women's match.
I feel like SmackDown has to go.
Fast forward.
Nia Jax, I would say, should be built as the monster heel and just fucking be the last one standing and wreck shop on SmackDown, but they're not going to let her. If she goes 1-on-4 and clears it out, that's a great way to build a female monster heel.
Yeah, well, she ain't ready.
She never going to be ready. Like,
no, like, this thing is again, shows the glaring problem. Like, Raw's women division is top heavy. SmackDown's women's division, they're even keeled. SmackDown kind of has to win to make sense out of this, or unless Bayley goes over. Because Bayley needs to
Bayley Charlotte next?
Yeah, I mean,
Bailey, has Bailey not lost all of her steam? I see she no reaction. Yeah, I don't. I don't.
They killed her. So
the only one I think that has she'd be Taylor right Fitt now for SmackDown, is Alexa Bliss. She's the only one I see with momentum right now.
Well, she's the only one getting better.
She's spit fire.
She should get the title.
Yeah, I agree. That's the only thing that I'm interested in.
But everyone else is stagnant. We've seen these characters. There's no build except Charlotte, who's taking her game to the next level.
Corkscrew moonflip.
Yeah, I mean, and her heel work is A-class now, but she's better than she was in NXT.
She's by far.
But Alexa Bliss is the only other one who's growing and showing, like,
she
new layers and getting
NXT
better.
Too. Like, she's been fiery and bitchy from the start.
Alexa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When she, as soon as she turned heel in NXT.
But so, she was a valet.
So for me,
yeah,
it's,
for,
it's,
but she wrestled too.
Yeah.
So is it going to be a last woman standing in this match, or is it going to be, like, three of the women?
Probably a Bella.
Yeah, it'll be a Bella.
Whoever goes over is going over on the Bella.
All right, just because you said that, we have to move on.
Yeah.
After that, we have another one. 5-on-5 men's match.
Fast forward.
This one,
this one might be all right.
This one, I feel like SmackDown has to go over.
Yeah.
Because it's still the B show.
They let me down not putting Taker in instead of Shane.
Taker? Why would Taker be in? Because
he showed up. Oh, you haven't watched it.
Yeah, we know he shows up.
Okay.
Yeah, we know
he's... shirts they showed up with on Raw.
Yeah, no, that show was horrible.
But why would Taker be on the Survivor Series team?
Yeah, it's
why would
just
you
it's
utilize
too,
him in this
yeah,
kind of
it's too low.
So why did he show up? He just gave him a pep talk, and it was like, if you lose, you got to answer to me.
This is the 900th episode of SmackDown.
Yeah.
Maybe they're figuring out what to do with him, but he's not going to be involved in the Survivor Series match. But AJ Styles feels like he has to go over in this match.
Yeah.
Raw's fine. Raw's fine as far as viewership is concerned. Like, you don't want – Raw is always considered the A-brand. You don't want the A-brand to go over in every match.
No.
And I feel like AJ Styles is the best wrestler pure talent on the roster.
Yep.
And that belt,
I hope they fucking have Reigns pin AJ Styles just to break your heart.
They won't.
For the win.
when AJ and Rollins get in the ring, that's just going to be fucking
That's going to be great. AJ Owens.
Yeah, so we're just having good one-on-one matches that go for 45 minutes and tell a story. Why would we do that?
I mean, but that's not Survivor Series anyway.
No, I just mean in general. But
they have enough talent where they could do that throughout the year.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Bringing
just
everybody's back.
Do 6 months feuds with real builds and, you know, real writing and real stories. And.
But you know who this match is really about? Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Ellsworth.
Yeah, to get an Undertaker build.
We're getting
got to do something for Braun Strowman as far as this monster heel pushes work. And actually on Raw, he wasn't bad on Raw. So
no,
like,
he's all right.
He's not. Yeah. They're protecting him well by putting him in this match.
I agree. Yeah.
And he's gonna get over it big.
Maybe
he'll
gets
get DQ'd in this match as well. He won't get pinned.
Maybe he gets the Shane McMahon pop.
There aren't DQs
in. Shane, I mean, when Shane's in a match,
there are Survivor Series. You're right.
You gotta find a way to get rid of the monster.
Yeah, yeah.
When Shane is in a match, he's going through something.
Yeah.
Or getting broken in half.
Yeah.
Maybe Strowman puts him through a table.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
Shane being on the team shows you how weak the roster is on SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Does anybody know why they pulled Baron Corbin? He should have been there in the first
place. Because he sucks?
Well, that's
nah, I disagree.
Well, I think Baron Corbin sucks.
I have no interest in that guy.
He's a great finisher, though.
Yeah, he's lukewarm.
In ring, he sucks.
Great finisher. End of Days is a great finisher.
All right.
Why the fuck?
It's hard to have a great finisher.
Well, it's good that you agree with Kel, Danny. Your day must be feeling really good about yourself.
This is okay.
This will make Kel happy. Why wasn't The Miz on the SmackDown team? And furthermore, why did they just switch the Intercontinental titles to now they have The Miz?
Because they can't face off a face.
Yeah.
If they why Sammy, not?
Well, I agree.
But what do you
I agree.
With Dolph Ziggler at this
I
point?
Agree.
Again,
yeah.
You have essentially.
He should have been the fifth man on that. Loser goes into the match. It would have only made sense.
Well, wouldn't Sammy get more over if he takes the belt off of Miz rather than taking it off of Dolph?
Well, what's the point? Like, if Sammy wins
you
and he doesn't
over.
Go to SmackDown, what's the point of taking the Intercontinental title and the U.S. title to Raw?
Okay.
That's the key. Well, because they're going to say, we gave him the Cruiserweight title and we just flopped.
Yeah.
But
there's
it's a shitty title for a prominent
at
title.
At least the Cruiserweight has a distinction where these guys don't intermesh with everybody else. Anybody can win the Intercontinental and U.S. title.
Yeah.
So what's the point? But Ziggler, poor Ziggler, he goes over, has this great match with The Miz, and now he's back on the outside looking in? This makes no sense.
It's all Kel's fault.
Yeah.
Kel told us 3 years ago that he was a glorified mid-carder and he never...
He really is, though.
He
did a good job in this last feud, though. Him and Miz,
he's amazing. Ziggler's great.
Miz helped carry SmackDown.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically Miz.
Cena's really fucked SmackDown, though.
Yeah.
Because they put a lot on his shoulders and he disappeared.
Yeah. Well, I think they knew he was going to be. I think they were planning.
That's their fault.
Yeah.
But he was supposed to be the cash cow, like put the one marquee guy over there.
I don't think he was ever supposed to.
He was more like enhancement talent.
Yeah.
Because Cena needed to put over...
He's under he's Undertaker now.
He's going to have to feud with Dean Ambrose.
He's the new Undertaker.
Dean Ambrose is not a face. They need to cut this shit out. Yeah. James Ellsworth, they need to cut this shit out.
Ellsworth got to go.
He's the new Undertaker, right? Cena, bring him in for 3 months. Yeah. 3 months here, 3 months here.
Maybe he'll wrestle Undertaker at WrestleMania. I've been asking for this shit for 2 years.
Maybe. Two-part-timer.
But
they're both on SmackDown, so it could give a build.
I will fantasy book. If they're going to do Cena and the Undertaker, they need to give Cena the title and make a title versus career.
I like that. Ooh. I have no problem with that.
Even because if you got another title that's going to be competed for anyway.
Yeah.
You might as well.
But doesn't that solidify
the championship?
Doesn't that solidify though that Taker loses? If anything, Taker's got to be the champ going into that. I don't know. Because if you do that Cena versus Taker and Cena's got the title, you know Taker's losing. Because there's no way they're giving him a run.
The title versus career.
And you have to. Yeah. And you have to.
I'd be down to watch AJ Styles bumper off Taker.
I would too.
The title.
That wouldn't be bad.
I would too.
But even at Rumble, Taker Styles. Taker gets the belt,
but we all want to see Nakamura versus Styles. So
yeah,
glad we can all agree. Yeah,
I'll take like a Nakamura Rollins or or like anyone. If Nakamura Owens, like, I don't care.
Just not Nakamura versus Randy Orton or John Cena.
Take Nak versus Lesnar. I don't care.
Yeah, a singles match for the title in the top spot at WrestleMania.
Yep.
Nak versus Goldberg.
No, but I mean, Taker having the belt and Cena breaking the record, taking it off of Taker would be great.
You know, Nak and Brock wrestled before?
Yeah.
Back in New Japan?
New Japan.
I'll take Nak versus Brock at WrestleMania.
Brock's first match, right? Brock took the title off of Nak.
Was that it?
Yeah. Yep. First New Japan match. Brock took the belt.
Terrible. Well, speaking of Brock,
he looks terrible.
It's the last one. Lesnar versus Old Man Goldberg.
That's
exactly what I have. Goldberg's a shell of himself. I'm not sure how he's going to get through this match. Is it going to be 6 minutes?
I thought he looked good when he took his shirt off.
He looks better than
he did when he was prime. Well, did he?
He looks
He needs it. He was never a real worker.
Is he going to jackhammer Goldberg?
The explosion wasn't there. It's kind of a little...
Is Brock going to do a shooting star press?
No.
That's all I'm going to say.
I see Brock nearly face plant when he jumped on the mat.
When he jumped on the mat and his foot slips, hit his whole shin.
It would have been face to canvas, and then it would have been no match. So
he saved himself with his shin.
All that weight coming down.
Jesus Christ.
Bro. So they're both kind of... Oh, it's going to be a botch fest. It can't go over 10 minutes.
It's the main event, Kel. It's going to go over 10 minutes.
What are they going to do? Stare at each other for 9 of them?
They're going to brawl outside the ring.
Been asking. Exactly. That's been happening for 20 years. Incapable.
Suplex the shit out of each other. Heyman should probably take a bump somewhere in this match again.
Yep.
It's hard for me to say that Brock's going to lose this match. Cause I still
Brock's going to win this match.
He's going to win this match.
As much as Goldberg's performing for his kid, he's going to be like, son, I'm about to job out to Brock Lesnar. Because I'm never coming back
I saw Sting job out to Triple H for no damn reason.
That was egregious.
Yes. They don't care about any WCW stars, regardless if this were your kids, your family.
Because
there's at least a reason to let Brock win. There was no reason to let Triple H win, and he still took the win.
Well, yeah, there was, because Triple H is always... answer is always Triple H. The reason's Triple H. It's because
the answer is Triple H.
Why? So I have no faith in them treating WCW people well.
Well, essentially, speaking of Triple H, I guess we're heading towards a Triple H Seth Rollins at Mania, because I feel they've wasted so much time not bringing him into the picture, but whatever.
A face Triple H, damn near, because no one cares about heel Triple H.
So
we applaud him every time at NXT. It's like,
so Lesnar wins this, disappears, and then we'll see him at
Mania. Yeah.
There's nothing worse than Triple H just waiting for his WrestleMania moment. Like, we're getting now, like, where he's treating himself like Ric Flair. Like,
or Undertaker.
It's just so goddamn awful.
He was the reason I stopped watching in the 2000s. It was like, okay, this is garbage.
Yeah, blowing the budget on his fucking entrance.
Yeah.
Give me, like, 18... people will walk me out. It's like, all right, Trish, man, we're not here.
He's putting himself over the Summer of Punk. He comes in and ruins that shit and tags with him. Yep. 3 months later, he's tag teaming with CM Punk. Fucking no, dude. Go away.
Beat it.
Yeah.
So everybody's in agreement. Lesnar's going to go.
Yep.
Yeah, Lesnar.
Will the match be better than WrestleMania 2?
Yes.
It's hard to be worse.
It can't be worse.
It's hard to be worse. So
and if the crowd won't be saying bye.
And there's not much else on this card to latch on to. I mean,
nothing.
This is the main event. Like, this is...
Is there blood?
Yeah.
Wait.
Does someone...
Did we say if Zayn... Is he going to win the...
I have Zayn winning.
Yeah, I have Zayn winning.
So you haven't taken it back to the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They'll switch him up. Cruiserweight and Intercontinental.
Yeah.
I feel like The Miz is going to go to Raw somehow.
I wouldn't mind.
They need him there. They need someone to carry that show.
I don't know what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah. No, none of us do. It's... Yeah.
Like, unless Miz is wrestling Daniel Bryan, I don't see what his next program is.
No. They're going to switch, you know, the cruiserweights. They'll switch the IC title. I don't know how that helps. the build for Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's still kind of just stagnant.
Hey, TLC,
there's no feuds. There's no feuds after this.
Yeah.
Well, on Raw there isn't. SmackDown just kind of was like, fuck Survivor Series. We're building feuds.
We're definitely getting out of here at the right moment when the leaf blower started.
Oh, yeah.
I was just thinking. I was like, they are going to be. I am so glad this was not happening during the entirety of the
All right. Episode. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for coming.
Yeah, man,
Ryan and Danny.
Awesome.
It was great talking. We'll have the full recap again next week. A lot of stuff to talk about. More stuff to preview. Until then, though, we're out.
Peace. On the corner.